It's the Currents Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today's Thursday, November 29th. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade, with yet another story about a possibly stolen stage setup, this time featuring a popular rapper and a hair metal drummer.
And I'll talk about a Supreme Court case that Apple Music's rivals are watching with anticipation. But first, here are a few more of today's headlines. Jay-Z has asked for a halt to arbitration proceedings in a battle over his Roc Nation brand. The reason is that there are too few eligible African-American arbitrators, say Jay-Z's lawyers. Apparently, out of 200 potential arbitrators in this conflict with another company called Iconics Brand Group, only two available arbitrators are African-American. In the words of one of Jay-Z's lawyers, "The racial imbalance of the arbitrator pool deprives litigants of color of a meaningful opportunity to have their claims heard by a panel of arbitrators reflecting their backgrounds and life experience."
This is something that's been popping up in a lot of different fields. I actually just watched a conversation with a bunch of actresses, and they were kind of saying the same thing. Like, when I walked into this room, behind the scenes, there was not enough color. There was not enough representation. And you kind of need that to be able to push things through. So it's nice that Jay-Z is actually making a stand.
The United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, aka UNESCO, has added the musical genre of reggae to a list of protected cultural traditions. In a statement, UNESCO said, "Reggae's contribution to international discourse on issues of injustice, resistance, love, and humanity underscores the dynamics of the element as being at once cerebral, sociopolitical, sensual, and spiritual." I didn't even know there was a list of protected cultural traditions.
No, but I'm so glad there is. Thank you, reggae, for forcing my attention onto this list. What else is on this list?
Dominican merengue, Slovakian bagpipe music, Vietnamese shawn singing, which, you know, all respect to the Slovakians, but certainly if Slovakian bagpipe music is on a list,
reggae should have been on it, yeah.
Here's a clip from a short documentary released by UNESCO in coordination with this announcement.
Wherever there is reggae music, Jamaica is the source and the inspiration.
18,000 documents from the files of famed jazz composer Billy Strayhorn have been acquired by the Library of Congress. The documents, which are now available to the public, include gems like an original manuscript of the song Take the A-Train. It was a Billy Strayhorn composition that became Duke Ellington's signature song.
That's really cool.
Scholars are hoping this archive will increase public appreciation of Billy Strayhorn's invaluable contributions as arranger, performer, and composer to Duke Ellington's music. Certainly, Duke Ellington has a very well-earned pride of place in American music history and world music history, but he worked very closely with Billy Strayhorn, who was a genius in his own right, and because of the way they worked as a group in the jazz context, it hasn't always been clear what were Billy Strayhorn's contributions, what were Duke Ellington's contributions, contributions of other members of the band, and so these 18,000 documents should really help to tell the story of Billy Strayhorn's legacy.
This is something that's really difficult in jazz music in general because it was such a collaborative process that a lot of these artists that were maybe not as flamboyant or as, you know, the main star, the main attraction, a lot of them kind of got lost in the shuffle. So at least one name has finally gained the recognition it deserves.
Here's Take the A-Train as performed by Duke Ellington.
Hey, Travis, lawyer up. That is what Motley Crue drummer Tommy Lee tweeted out earlier today. So what's he so mad about? Apparently, the stage setup for rapper Travis Scott's Astroworld Festival in Houston earlier this month. Tommy Lee took to Twitter to accuse Scott of stealing not one, but two amusement park-themed stage designs, specifically comparing videos of a 360-degree loop design. Tommy Lee posted the videos and said, "I get copying is a form of flattery, but this is just straight ripping my stuff, is what I'll say." But, you know, Tommy Lee, he's really known for his wild tour drum kits. Many over his three decades on tour were these gravity-defying sets. The 360-degree kit that he's actually talking about, Lee brought that first on tour in 1987 for the Girls, Girls, Girls tour, and it reappeared during the 30th anniversary tour in 2011. So this is something that he's brought up over and over.
I only knew about this because at Motley Crue's final show in 2015, Tommy Lee is out flying above the crowd in his upside-down drum kit on a roller coaster and gets stuck upside down. It was a viral video. I just watched it again. Well worth it.
Yeah, so he obviously has this stuck in his mind. And in fact, that same 360-degree loop design brought Tommy Lee to court in 2014. An engineer had accused him of stealing the idea, and Tommy Lee actually won that case when the judge concluded that he had come up with the idea on his own. So this is something that he had to fight for. So it makes sense that he's so upset about it. Well, life comes at you quick. Already, Travis Scott has responded. So a legal representative for Travis Scott has since given the following statement to Pitchfork, where they said, Tommy didn't invent the concept of a roller coaster on stage, and there's no legal basis for his accusatory outburst. The actual creator and owner of the system has granted Travis all rights to use that equipment to complement his original stage design.
So this whole dispute is reminiscent of another dispute we talked about recently on the podcast, the Lord versus Kanye dispute over the floating box.
Yeah, it keeps popping up, and it's just something where when people are bringing in bigger and better stage sets, it's going to happen that some of them are going to have a little bit of similarity. But while they maybe battle this out in court, I just thought we could listen to Wild Man Tommy Lee pound away to Dr. Feelgood and just try to imagine him doing this while upside down.
The music world is closely watching a Supreme Court case involving Apple's pricing model. So here's the issue. This is a consumer-brought lawsuit that is asking whether Apple has an illegal monopoly with its App Store. So if you have an iPhone, which a lot of people do, the only way you can buy apps for that phone without voiding your warranty is to go through Apple's App Store, okay? Mm-hmm. But then if you want to make in-app purchases, for example, upgrade to a premium membership on Spotify or whatever other streaming service, Apple gets a 30% cut.
I did not know that. I've been giving Apple my money without even knowing it.
Totally. Well, and that means that competing services, which of course are now competing against Apple Music, Apple's own streaming service, have to decide what to do. So, for example, SoundCloud Go actually raises its price if you go through the App Store to make up for that extra revenue that it's losing. Pandora Plus just shrugs and takes less revenue, understanding they're going to get less revenue from iPhone users. And Spotify Premium has just stopped allowing people to even upgrade via the App Store. They push you to Spotify's website, so you're not going through that model.
Wow. And then if you use Apple Music, then you're just giving it straight to them. That's a really interesting way to sort of give it to the consumer by forcing you to have to keep paying them. So what's the actual lawsuit here?
So right now, the court is trying to figure out whether these people even have standing to bring suit against Apple because they're not the competing services, right? Like, should this lawsuit be coming from Pandora or Spotify instead of from the consumer? But if the lawsuit is successful, what could happen is that Apple could be forced to open up app sales to other vendors. So that means you could go another way and not pay that extra revenue to Apple. And there's a lot of money at stake. One analyst calls that App Store revenue Apple's get-out-of-jail-free card. They make so much money on those App Store purchases that Apple can experiment with new products and maybe, you know, if they flop, a new service doesn't take off, they lose a little money. It's okay. They make so much money on the App Store that they can take some risks. This is just the latest battle in the ongoing competition among streaming services who are trying to have prices that are affordable and trying to offer unique content, like Spotify, which had a hit this week with its Spotify session by the late Mac Miller. Here's Mac Miller's cover of Billy Preston's Nothing from Nothing from that Spotify session.
Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Gotta have something if you wanna be with me.
A college-age Donald Glover has been spotted in the audience in a Beastie Boys concert film.
and looking like such a music dork. He's just given like a little thumbs up, which is when you know like Childish Gambino, such a cool persona. If you see him acting on any of his shows, he always seems so cool. And then you just see him geeking out to the Beastie Boys. Oh, I love it.
I did not know Donald Glover was a huge Beastie Boys fan. And, you know, Reddit can be an awful place, but then Reddit can also produce things like this. I don't know how someone possibly in this whole concert film spotted this brief little clip of Donald Glover, but someone found it. So this is a movie called Awesome, I Bleeping Shot That. It came out in 2006. It was based on a 2004 Beastie Boys concert at Madison Square Garden. And the premise was that they gave cameras to a bunch of different fans and then just edited all this fan shot video together into the full concert documentary. Donald Glover, at the time, a student at NYU, and there he is, rapping right along to the song Three MCs and One DJ. Here's the part you can see him rapping along to. And that's today's music news. You can see that brief, priceless little video of Donald Glover and read more about all these stories over at thecurrent.org. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade.
Our producer is Luke Taylor, who is also one of the people behind our music news email newsletter. Sign up at thecurrent.org/musicnews to get music news in your inbox every day. We'll be back tomorrow with more headlines and a roundup of this week's new releases.
DJ, we be getting down with no delay. Mix master mic, what you got to say?
Bug out to
the mic all the time.
Sweet and sour, like a tangerine. Fresh like a